Today on YahvahYahweh.name, we are reading from the book of Hebrews. This is a Hebrews paraphrase written by Hezekiah Haas, and it's available at his website, JewsForYeshua.com. Hebrews, written in approximately 64 to 68 Common Era, Ephraim, book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the paraphrase. Yahweh, who at many times and in many ways spoke in times past to our forefathers through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, who he has appointed as heir of all things, and through also he has made the universe. It is his Son who reflects the brightness of Yahweh's splendor, and who is the express image of Yahweh's character, and who upholds all things by the word of his power, and who, after purging us of our Torah violations, sat down in majesty at the right hand of the Most High Elohim. Verse 4, who has made him higher in rank than the messengers, or angels, and caused him to inherit a name more excellent than that of the messengers. For to which of the messengers has Yahweh ever declared at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten you, or I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son? And when he brought his firstborn son into the world, Yahweh said again, Let all the messengers of Yahweh kneel before him. Verse 7, But regarding the messengers, Yahweh only says, in Psalm 107, He brings forth his messengers like the winds, and his servants like flames of fire. But to the Son, this is in Psalm 45, verse 6, as well as Hebrews 1, 8, He has said, Thy throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And in the King James, in Psalm 45, verse 6, Thy throne, O Yahweh, is forever and ever, the scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Back to the paraphrase, the Hebrew paraphrase, But to the Son he has said, Thy throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Elohim, your Elohim, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy companions. Also found in Isaiah 61:1. Hebrews 1:10. And you, Elohim, in the beginning have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They shall pass away, but thou shalt remain. They shall all become old and worn like a robe, and as fine clothing. You shall fold them up, and they shall be changed. But you remain the same, and thy years shall not fail. And to which of the messengers did Yahweh at any time declare, Sit at my right hand, until I make thy enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be fellow heirs with Hezekiah has written Yeshua, and of course we use Yahusha here. But so I will begin. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be fellow heirs with Yahusha? Hezekiah here has written Yeshua. And that is the end of Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall be fellow heirs with Yahusha? Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we must be all that much more attentive to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the word spoken by messengers was unshakable, and every violation of the Torah and every act of disobedience was punished, then how shall we escape if we neglect this great salvation first declared to us by our deliverer, Yahusha himself, that was then established and proven to us by those who heard him speak? And that Yahweh himself also confirmed with many different signs and wonders and miracles, as well as through gifts of the Ruach HaKadosh, or the Kodesh Spirit, which he distributed however he chose? For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, under the authority of the messengers. But as it is written, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you give attention to him? To the Son. For you have made him a little lower than the messengers, and crowned him with splendor and honor, made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. That's taken from Psalm chapter 8, the 8th Psalm, rather, verses 4 and 5. For you have made him a little lower than the messengers and crowned him with splendor and honor, made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and put all things under his feet. Yet clearly not all things are under the feet of man's dominion and authority. So here we see one spoken of who Yahweh has placed all things under the authority of, and that there is nothing that is not under the authority of this one. Verse 9. And this one is the Messiah, Yahusha, who was made a little lower than the messengers, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with splendor and honor. For being highly favored of Yahweh, he was able to partake of death on behalf of every person, and as a result, able to bring many sons into the place of the Father's excellence. As such, it was also proper that the Father, for whom and through whom all things exist, should also make the author of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. And both Yahusha, who was then set apart through his suffering, and they who are being set apart for Yahweh's purpose through him, have the same Father, and so, like Joseph, is no longer ashamed to call us brothers. And so it is written, I will declare thy name to my brothers. In the middle of the assembly I will sing praise to thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am, and the children which Yahweh has given me. Hebrews 2:14. So then, even as the children of Yahweh are mortal beings, whereas the children of Elohim are mortal beings made of flesh and blood, even so Yahusha, the son of Elohim, likewise became a mortal being made of flesh and blood, so that through his death he could destroy the wicked one who had the power over death, and to deliver those who were kept enslaved all their lives through fear of death. And truly, Yahusha did not take upon himself the nature of messengers, but the nature of the seed of Abraham. But becoming like us in every way, he was able to take upon himself the debt owed for our sin, so that he is a faithful Kohen HaGadol without sin toward Yahweh, could show Elohim's mercy toward us when paying for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2:18, the last verse. And likewise, because he experienced temptation, he also is able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews chapter 3. Therefore, reverent, set-apart brothers, and partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the chief emissary and Kohen HaGadol, or high priest, whom we profess, the Messiah, Yahusha, who was faithful to Yahweh, who appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more honor than Moses, in the same way as one who has built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he who built all things is Yahweh. And so through Moshe, or Moses, and though Moses was a faithful servant over all Elohim's family as a testimony of those things which would later be revealed, Yahusha, or Messiah, is not a mere servant, but the son, an heir over all his family, whose family we are, if we remain steady and courageous in the faith and continue to rejoice in our hope in him firmly to the end. Verse 7. Therefore, as the Ruach HaKadosh, or the Pure Spirit, said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your thoughts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. For I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their thoughts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. Beware, therefore, brothers, that none of you, through an evil, unbelieving mind, also depart from the living Elohim. Verse 13, encourage and correct one another daily. Do it even today, before any of you become stubborn through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become fellow partakers with the Messiah only if we hold the beginning of our confidence firmly to the end. Verse 15, as it is written, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your thoughts as in the rebellion. For who was it who, after hearing, rebelled? Indeed, wasn't it all those who were led out of Egypt by Moshe? And who was it that Yahweh was angry with those 40 years? Wasn't it with those who had violated the Torah that he had caused to die in the wilderness? Verse 18 there. So to who did he swear would not? Hebrews 3:18. So to who did he swear would not enter into his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we could see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Hebrews chapter 4, the Sabbath chapter. Therefore, since a promise remains for us to enter his rest, let us fear Yahweh and not fall short as they did. For indeed, the evangel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, for those who heard the word did not combine it with faith. So it is only those who have believed who have entered that rest. For concerning the others, he says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. But how can this be, when his work has been finished from the foundation of the world? For it is written concerning the seventh day, and Elohim rested on the seventh day from all his work. But then in this place it is written, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6. So in one place it reveals that there are yet some who will enter into his rest, and that those to whom the word was formerly preached were prevented from entering into that rest because of their disobedience. In another example, here again Yahweh designates a certain day, saying to David, today, after so much time had already passed from the foundation of the world, he says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your thoughts. For if Yahusha, or Joshua, or Messiah, had given them rest, then Yahweh would not have spoken of another day at the same time. The Sabbath, therefore, remains for the people of Yahweh. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as Elohim did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of Yahweh is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the mind. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great Kohen Hagadol, who has ascended into the heavens, Yahusha the son of Yahweh, let us hold firmly to our confession. For we do not have a Kohen Hagadol who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, or we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all ways tempted as we are, but without sinning. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne with his favor, that we may obtain mercy and find favor to help us in our time of need. That's the end of Hebrews chapter 4. This is written by Hezekiah of JewsForYeshua.com. And he noted that concerning the Sabbath and concerning Hebrews chapter 4, that the millennial kingdom during the seventh millennium from Adam will be that ultimate rest pictured and prophesied there in the previous chapter. The millennial kingdom during the seventh millennium from Adam will be that ultimate rest. Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrew paraphrase. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, for every Kohen Hagadol is chosen from among men and appointed to act on behalf of the people concerning the requirements of Yahweh, and on their behalf he presents their gifts and offers sacrifices for their sins. And he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he is also subject to weaknesses himself. But because of his weakness, the sacrifices that he offers up on behalf of all the people for their sins, he must also offer up for himself as well. 5 verse 4. Also, no man takes this responsibility upon himself except he who is called by Yahweh for this purpose, even as Aharon was called for this purpose. In the same way, neither did Messiah exalt himself into this position of Kohen Hagadol, but Yahweh said to him, thou art my son, today I have begotten you. And in another place, Yahweh also says, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And so in the days when Messiah was among us in the flesh, after he had offered up prayers and humbly pleaded with great cries and with many tears before the Father, who also was able to deliver him from death, his prayers were heard because of his deep reverence and humble submission. And though he was the Son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered here on earth. Now, concerning those two verses, by the way, look at the Jews for Yeshua website and into this Hebrew translation here. And there's a footnote to that, which I couldn't get for you today. So, Hebrews 5:9, and having been perfected in his suffering, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him, and so is now called Kohen HaGadol by Yahweh, after the order of Melchizedek. And there is much that we can say of him that would be difficult to explain because of the deafness of people's understanding, For after all this time, you should already be teachers. But instead, you need to be taught all over again the basic principles of the word of Yahweh, and are still feeding on milk rather than on solid food. And everyone who feeds only on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness and is but an infant. But those who are mature feed on solid food, and by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Hebrews chapter 6, in the Hebrew paraphrase, therefore, leaving the basic principles of Messiah's teaching, or Mashiach's teaching, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward Yahweh, of the doctrine of immersion, and of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Then, Yahweh willing, we will move forward on to perfection. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Ruach HaKadosh, the true spirit, and have tasted of the good word of Yahweh and of the powers of the world to come, that if they should fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. For to their detriment, it is the same as if they were to openly shame and impale the Son of Yahweh all over again. In Hebrews chapter 6, I'm repeating now, in 6 verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the pure spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, and have tasted of the good word of Yahweh, and of the powers of the world to come, that, if they should fall away, to renew them again to repentance, for to their detriment, it is the same as if they were to openly shame and impale the Son of Yahweh all over again. For the earth, when it drinks in the rain that often falls upon it, brings forth crops that are useful to those who are benefited by it. It is blessed by Yahweh. But when the earth brings forth thorns and thistles, it is rejected and near to being cursed and ultimately burned. But beloved, though we are speaking this to you, it is the better scenario here that we are confident about concerning you. Yes, of the things that point to your salvation. Beloved, though we are speaking like this to you, it's the better scenario here that we are confident about concerning you, yes, of the things that point to your salvation. For Yahweh, who is just, will not forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name when ministering to the body of Messiah, as you continue to do today. And we desire that each of you demonstrate the same diligence concerning your own hope, that you may be competent, that you do not become sluggish, and that you may imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when Yahweh made a promise to Abraham, because there was no one greater than himself to swear by, he swore an oath in his own name, saying, truly with blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them accountable to it. And the oath then confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. In like manner, because Yahweh wanted to make the certainty of the promise to Abraham's heirs clear, he confirmed his promise with an oath. So Elohim has given us a promise and his oath. And because it is impossible to Yahweh to lie, these two things are unchangeable and certain to come to pass, so that we who have fled to him for refuge can be greatly encouraged as we take possession of the hope of salvation set before us. Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul is both certain and enduring, even taking us behind the veil where Yahusha, or the Savior, our Kohen Hagadol, or High Priest, forever after the order of Melchizedek, entered in as a forerunner into the Father's presence. That was Hebrews 6:20, the last verse of chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 7, and that's the last chapter in this file. We could call this part 1 of Hebrews, the Hebrew translation by JewsForYeshua.com. We're going chapter 7 now, verse 1. For this king of Salem and priest of the Most High Elohim, holding the office of Melchizedek, met Abraham after he came back after slaughter of kings. Abraham likewise gave a tenth part of all spoils. This title Melchizedek, M-E-L-C-H-I-Z-E-D-E-K, means king of righteousness, and he was the king of Salem, that is, the king of Shalom, the king of peace. And this office has assigned to it no record of the father or mother or genealogy, and records no beginning of days nor end of life, but as the son of Yahweh, as a perpetual office of priesthood. And consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. For though the Levites, who are descendants of Abraham and recipients of the priesthood, are authorized by the Torah to receive tithes from the people and from their brothers, this one man, who was neither a Levite nor a descendant of Abraham, received tithes from Abraham and blessed Abraham, to whom the promises had been given. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7. And because the person of greater authority is the one who blesses the one of lesser authority, we can see here that Melchizedek was the one of greater authority. So on the one side, we can see that men of the office of Levite who receive tithes are men that die. But this office of Melchizedek, being of greater authority, continues on to this day. So that even the Levites who received tithes from the people paid tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham. For Levi was still in the loins of his father Abraham when Melchizedek met Abraham. Chapter 7:11. But if perfection was to be through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the tabernacle and priestly sacrifices after the order of Levi and Aharon, and that was in parenthesis, what further need would there have been for a priest after the order of Melchizedek to be raised up, rather than after the order of Aaron or Aharon? And I'll read that without the parenthesis. But if perfection was to be through the Levitical priesthood, what further need would there have been for a priest after the order of Melchizedek to be raised up, rather than after the order of Aharon? Verse 12, and when the order of priesthood was transferred from Levi back to Melchizedek, changes also had to take place in how the law concerning the sacrifices was to be carried out. And these changes, likewise, had to come through one who was from a tribe other than Levi, so that he would not be bound to the service of the altar after the Levitical order. That one is clearly Yahusha, or Messiah, our King, who arose from the tribe of Yehuda, and has now taken on this title of righteous king from a tribe of which Moshe spoke nothing concerning the Levitical order of priesthood. And this change has now been made very clear with the appearance of Yahusha, who has come in the same likeness as Melchizedek, who was ordained not through the law concerning flesh stripped of its skin, as commanded under Moshe, but through the power of an endless life. For Yahweh has testified, "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." So now the previous order of priesthood commanded has been set aside as inferior and rendered as inoperable. For the sacrificial law after the order of Levi made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope, with a parenthetical insert here, through the power of a resurrected life. end of the bracket. So, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And it is through this that we can now draw near to Yahweh. And this Kohen Haggadol, after the order of Melchizedek, was appointed through an oath. But the Kohen Haggadol, after the Levitical order, appointed without an oath. For Yahweh swore an eternal oath concerning this one who would come after the order of Melchizedek, when he said, Yahweh has sworn and will not relent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so because of this oath, the Messiah, Yahusha, has become the guarantor of a superior priesthood covenant. And truly under the former priesthood covenant, many priests had to be raised up to replace those who formerly died. But this one, because he continues forever, has a priesthood that will never be replaced. Therefore, he is able to save completely all who come to Yahweh through him. And likewise, because he lives eternally, he is also able to intercede for us at any time, to intercede for us at any time and in any place. Let me repeat that in verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely all who come to Yahweh through him. And likewise, because he lives eternally, he is also able to intercede for us at any time and in any place. And as a high priest who is Kodesh, or set apart, actually he is Kadosh, any high priest who is, as a Kohen Haggadol who is Kadosh, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, he can truly represent and meet our spiritual needs in every way. And likewise, unlike the other priests, neither did he need to offer up any sacrifices for himself before he could sacrifice on behalf of the nation, nor did he have to offer up any daily sacrifices. But because he was without sin, he only had to offer himself up one time to cause the sins of the people to be remitted. And speaking of the Messiah there, so maybe for the newer people, repeating verse 27. And likewise, unlike the other priests, neither did he, the Messiah, need to offer up any sacrifices for himself before he could sacrifice on behalf of the nation. Nor did he have to offer up any daily sacrifices, but because he was without sin, he only had to offer himself up one time to cause the sins of the people to be remitted. And finally, verse 28, for the Levitical priesthood order can only ordain men as high priests who have a fallen nature themselves, but after the Levitical order was given, the Father gave his word by way of an oath that his Son, who is perfect and without sin, should be appointed as Kohen Haggadol forever. Then in Hebrews chapter 8, I have to make a correction here. I'm not able to edit the program out in part 2 in Hebrews chapter 8. So I'm making this correction right now. In Hebrews 8, 9, I left out a part there. For they did not remain faithful to that covenant of mine. So let's read that in the full context in Hebrews. And just before that it says, behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers at the time I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mitzrayim, for they did not remain faithful to that covenant of mine. And so I turned away from them, says Yahweh. And after those days, this is the covenant that I will make with the whole house of Israel. The word whole was inserted. With the whole house of Israel, says Yahweh, I will put my laws into their mind. I will put my Torah into their mind. I'll put my word into their mind and write them in their thoughts, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And they shall no longer teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their Torah violations and iniquities will I remember no more. And so here, when he says he'll make a new covenant, he's making the former covenant obsolete, and now that which is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. And that's the end of Hebrews chapter 8. You know, we need to take that last verse there in its proper context with the rest of Scripture. Make it all harmonize and don't just isolate that and try to make it say something that it doesn't. For example, that everything in the older writings, the old covenant, was deleted and done away with. But that's not true at all. So that's the end of this broadcast here of Hebrews 1 through 7. The translation or paraphrase, the book of Hebrews, according to the Hebrew idioms. And you can read more of that and get the hard copy on JewsForYeshua.com once again. And this is Stephan Yah of YahvahYahweh.name. Thanks for listening. Many blessings. Maranatha, that he would come quickly. If you'd like to email, drop me an email. It is Stephan Yah. That's Stephan Yah with a Zadi, T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H, at YahvahYahweh.name. Have a good day.